today on Real Radio.
No matter what you decide, I cannot, as a pastor of the gospel of Jesus Christ over the flock of God, receive worship money given by people who are giving it to God, not California, and skim off the top of that to send it to the funding of abortions would be a violation of God's passion and defense of life, and it is an abuse of worship money, which is in the spiritual realm of a church. I will not comply. And there's no other answer. There is no other answer to that.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, a Study in 1 Peter, with a message called The Ever-Present Jesus Christ, Part 2. You know, the Apostle Peter was a disciple of Jesus Christ, who later on became the leader of the first church. Peter's writing to Christians who are learning how to live out their faith in a whole new world. They faced incredible opposition. Suffering and sorrow awaited them. Sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? In Part 1 from 1 Peter chapter 2, we saw how Peter changes his focus from suffering and discouragement through trials and persecution to our behavior as Christians and the battle of the flesh. As Christ followers, we're not to live for our own fulfillment, but to live in such a way that we glorify God and represent His love to the world. It's God's desire for us to be an example of His character and to share the gospel to whoever will listen. So today, on day 3 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that Christians must stand for the truth. The only time we're called by God to disobey those in authority is when their commands are in violation of our biblical convictions or in violation of direct scripture. With respect and honor, we cannot disobey God to obey them. And now in his message called The Ever-Present Jesus Christ, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
All the lawgivers of human history are lining the molding at the top. Huge. They're all looking at one guy. And that one guy's in the middle. In fact, the Supreme Court justice with the other justices sitting to his right or his left, he's got to look right face on to this lawgiver, the most famous lawgiver ever in human history. And that's him right there. I'll give you a hint. If you don't know who it is, you've never been to D.C., he's holding two tablets and they're labeled 1 to 10. It's Moses. See, how do you know? Well, it says Moses underneath there. And he's looking at the justices of the Supreme Court with the Ten Commandments. The law. It's to be obeyed. It's to be followed. It's to keep a culture and a society together. When you lose the law, when you have lawlessness, you have anarchy. When you have anarchy, people die. God says, keep the law. Now, what about when the Bible says to us to disobey the law? Did you know the Bible tells us in numerous places to disobey the law? What's the criteria? Whenever that law directly attacks the Word of God, directly comes against, contradicts the Bible. Did you know that? It's mighty quiet in here right now. Jesus gave us the entire understanding of that in John chapter 19, verse 7. In the ESV version of the Bible, it says, the Jews answered him, we have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die. They're speaking about Jesus. We want him to die. He's offended us because he's made himself the Son of God. And verse 8 says, when Pilate heard that statement, he was even more afraid. And he entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, you will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have the authority to release you and the authority to crucify you? Jesus answered him, you would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Wow. All authority has been given by God. When a law contradicts the Word of God, then we have a problem. And one of the things that we must do as believers, and look, you and I are living in a world. In fact, after I make this next statement, you'll have no problem parking here next week. You'll just walk right on in. But listen, as Christians, I got to tell you, I got to be honest with you up front. I am a premillennial, pre-tribulationist, which means I believe in premillennial doctrine of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, which means that I believe in what's known as the imminency of Christ's return, which means I believe that the Bible teaches Jesus could come back for his church any moment. But if he doesn't, I'm planning on being here for the next 30 years. Are you with me? I hope I'm not. But I'm planning on being here for 30 years, but I'm also ready to go now. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's how I live my life. That's not any new news to you that attend this church. Having said that, that's what keeps me from rolling over and playing dead when something that contradicts God's word makes its way on the horizon. I hope you understand that. And one of those things, as you would know, now it's wrong. It's wrong, for example, for the government to say, you can't preach in the name of Jesus anymore. Do we obey that or not? What if they tell you they make evangelism illegal anywhere in the United States? Evangelism regarding Jesus Christ is illegal. Are you going to obey that? Absolutely not. You can't. Okay, look. Well, you know, got to obey the law. Not that point, you don't. God says you don't obey man when it contradicts the word of God. You obey God. Okay? So when the law says, when somebody makes the law and says, kill babies, abort babies, do we just sit silent? What does the Bible tell us to do? The Bible says, speak for those who are destined to death, who have no power to speak for themselves. Okay, that's called a baby. What are you going to do about that? You're going to stand up, you're going to say something. You have to stand up and say something. So I'll show you this picture. This is from The Blaze, or this newspaper article. Pastor's defiant response to California's abortion mandate. I don't know if you know that or not, but all churches have been mandated to pay for abortions, first time in American history. We will take this to the point of being jailed if necessary. A California pastor, some lunatic from Chino Hills. Why would I stand for this? Because I am under a higher law by God to defend what God has said regarding the unborn than what the government says. It's a no-brainer. So that statement got me to testify before the state Senate on what do I mean by that? I just simply reiterated. I'm a Christian. And listen, you have to do it. Listen, winsomely, lovingly, those people on that panel are God's ministers in place. And with all due respect, I honored them. But I told them, I cannot, no matter what you decide, and I said it reverently, no matter what you decide, I cannot, as a pastor of the gospel of Jesus Christ over the flock of God, receive worship money given by people who are giving it to God. Not California, and skim off the top of that to send it to the funding of abortions would be a violation of God's passion and defense of life, and it is an abuse of worship money, which is in the spiritual realm of a church. I will not comply. And there's no other answer. There is no other answer to that. There's no other answer. God sets up kings. Daniel chapter 2 says, and God brings kings down. You and I have the opportunity to, number one, obey the laws of the land and be the most premier, most beautiful representative of the kingdom of God by the laws we obey in this world. But when this world's laws stand up against God, that's when we stand, and what follows that is called persecution. And don't think you're going to escape it. We must stand for truth. Amen. And then we see in verses 14 to 15, Peter says that the stand that you take for what's right, for what's good, the powers that be coming in and enforcing good and punishing evil, it says it's for the punishment of the evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. I wish that was true in our country these days, but the Bible here tells us that those who are in power should watch out to defend those who do good and should punish those who do wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a culture where people who do wrong are protected and they win the day while the victim is ridiculed, mocked, and scorned. We spend more money defending the murderer than we do on comforting the victim. We live in a very different time. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Church, that is a 3,000-year-old prophecy that is alive today in our culture. We just had a district court ruling where the federal district court said it's children that are exposed to prayer, it could offend or damage them. Listen, a child exposed to prayer in a public gathering, it could damage them, it could harm them. The same power turned right around and thinks that children being exposed to pornography in public school is okay. What is that? That is good being called evil, and it's evil being called good. We're living it. Verse 15 says, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good, that is doing righteousness, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." How does that work? That by you and I doing good, it may not silence the critic, but the reference is what we found out in verse 12. In the day of judgment, in the day of the visitation, when Christ comes in the second coming, that your good works before this world that might mock and ridicule you and put you down and call you names and whatever they do, in the end, it's going to be to the praise of God. This verse is announcing to us that on the day of judgment, their mouths will be shut. It means that they won't have anything to say against the good things that you did. Now, this is kind of awesome because I went down this little list. I began to look at some things regarding how this would apply to us. For example, you take a stand for something that you know is biblically clear and accurate in the Bible. I'll make it even more simpler. What if the community began to look at you in your neighborhood and they asked this type of a question? Who are those people? Why are they doing that? Doing what? Why are they taking care of those old people who can't mow their lawns? Or why are they doing that? Why are they going around and doing these, removing graffiti from the walls in our community? Why are they doing that? Listen, I'm called to stand in front of the Congress and say what I say. That's what I did. That's what got the door. But you just say, I don't want to do that. You don't have to do that. But what if we got our kids? What if we got our kids together, for example, and we said, you know what? We're going to go down to the fire station over here or to the police station. We're going to ask, hey, do you guys know anybody who needs any help? Maybe, do you know anybody who's fallen into some hard times? Oh, yeah, we just visited this man. By the way, I know this is true. Fire department responding, 911 call, because by law they have to. But the man is elderly, he's lonely, and he calls the fire department, and they go. And listen, why don't we relieve them of that? Why don't we say, Mr. and Mrs. Fireman, you go put out fires. You know what? We'll go. Give us that guy's address. What if we were to go to the city, walk right up to the counter and say, hey, do you have anybody who can't pay their light bill? By the way, this church does that. You know one of the funnest things in the world to do? Is you get your local newspaper. Start reading it. I'm talking about the local newspaper in your town. And you read right there that Susie, her dog got ran over, her fence blew down in the wind, and she doesn't know what to do. Contact the newspaper and say, hey, listen, that article there on page 6, I want to bring some people over to her house and rebuild her fence. Can the newspaper help us out? Do you know what that is? That's doing good works. And it's a lot of fun. And when somebody says, why are you doing that? You know what? It's because Jesus has been good to me. He's been that good to me. Faith will act in confidence. And then as we look to this church, I want to give you a couple more things and then we'll close. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, 1 Timothy 2, 1 says, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority. What does that mean? Start praying for our local, county and state and federal governments. Why? Why would we do that? He answers us that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Isn't that awesome, church? God wants you to pray for your leaders so that we might live a quiet, peaceable life. Do you not want to live a quiet and peaceable life? Absolutely. How does that happen? Pray for your leaders. Call up your local government and ask them, can I have a prayer request from you, Mr. Mayor? I'm serious. Call the city council. Our church was just encouraged to pray for you guys. Flood their office with a phone call. We were encouraged to pray for you. Can I pray for your family? Any special needs you have? Let me tell you, they might say, get out of my face. Or they might say, wow, their response is irrelevant. You're doing it for the Lord's sake. You're doing it for him. Check this out. I want to give you this two newspaper headlines or clippings, I should say, or post. And this is faith confident. This is great. Mike Pompeo. Don't know if you know anything about Mike Pompeo before Trump was elected, but Mike Pompeo is one of the most stellar human beings in our national eye. He's a genius. He's brilliant. His record and everything he's done since being born is epic. This guy loves Jesus. This guy's responsible for some of the Bible studies that's taking place in the administration. Mike Pompeo is a sweet, gentle guy who ain't shy. And now he's no longer, by the way, the CIA director, is promoted to Secretary of State. Mike Pompeo, quote, Jesus Christ, our Savior, is truly the only solution for our world. Yeah, amen, right? He was mocked, ridiculed, and made fun of for saying that. Some people said that he should have his head examined. He's not fit to occupy the office. Next slide. How the Bible helps Pence, Vice President Pence, navigate his role as Trump's vice president. Did you know what happened to that after that was posted? It was said of Mike Pence that he should have a mental examination. You think either one of those guys care about what people say? That's the beauty of it. Say, I wish I was like that. Oh, you can. Realize this. Your stand for righteousness in the end, as you love even your enemies, their mock and ridicule, this is not the last time you'll see this. This will be printed again in eternity. Because Mike Pence's stand gave glory and honor to Jesus, and Mike Pompeo's stand gave glory and honor to Jesus. And then I'll give you this last final clip before I read this portion. How do you handle this one? This is by a president. See if you can figure out who he is before we put his name up. I think we have this quote. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, and to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. You know who said that? George Washington in New York City on October 3rd, 1789. That's humility. That's dependence upon God. And we end with this one. It'll take a moment. Verse 17 concludes, because humiliation is faith empowered. Humiliation, God says, I will give power, I will give grace to all those who take the humble route. God will not bless pride. And you guys, for time's sake, I'll just paraphrase it. You can stand right now as we end. I want to leave you with this picture in your mind. In Acts chapter 5, Jesus had not long been gone back to heaven. Listen to this. And the disciples now are the apostles. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. They're preaching the gospel everywhere. And people are getting saved. Even some of the Jewish leadership of the religious sect of the Pharisees and Sadducees are getting saved. Jerusalem is filled with the gospel. And there's a decision made. We got to arrest those guys. They're arrested. And they're forbidden to speak any longer in the name of Jesus. Stop preaching. They put them in prison and bound them in shackles. The Bible says in Acts chapter 5 that while they were in there, an angel appeared to them and opened the doors and loosed them and said to them, go to the temple and preach all the words of this life. And it says immediately they went to the temple early in the morning and they preached the gospel to all who were there. And so the religious leadership called for the prisoners to be brought out. And so when they opened up the prison to let them out, they were all gone. And they couldn't figure out what had happened. They finally got them together back before the council. And they said, didn't we tell you to no longer preach in Jesus' name? And the Bible says they beat them and forbade them to speak any longer in the name of Christ and to preach the gospel. And Peter said, you're going to have to judge whether it is right for us to obey God or you, but we must obey God. And they went out rejoicing that they were found worthy to be beaten for the Lord Jesus Christ. The day is coming in this America, unless there's a revival, where your faith will be tested. Oh, not for defeat, but for you and I to stand against the lions and proclaim all the words of this life. What is it? That for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the grave. That's the word. Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you, God, and we pray. Lord, I think about this week coming. We live in a nation where Pastor Greg Laurie will stand before tens of thousands here in Anaheim and by media beyond to preach the gospel. Time is running out. It's an amazing chance for us to be involved in something awesome by sharing, bringing, inviting somebody to get involved ourselves. And to think, Lord, that should you grant it, today, tomorrow, this week, radios around the world will preach the gospel. And to think of it, oh God, that you've allowed us to be followers of yours in this day and age. What an honor. What an honor to proclaim the name Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. We pray this in his name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Ever-Present Jesus Christ, Part 2. Thanks for joining us today. You know, our prayer is that you persevere, even when you're tired and weary, by focusing on the end result. The Ever-Present Jesus Christ, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a Study in 1 Peter, a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio.
Hi, this is Pastor Jack Hibbs of Real Radio, and I want to give you a reason to vote. The greatest reason of all is the Christian opportunity, responsibility, and quite frankly, stewardship of voting in this republic. We have gotten a gift from God regarding voting. And so listen, all that evil needs to do to triumph, Sir Edmund Burke said, is for good people to do nothing. But if we do something right, and that is vote biblically, we will shine the light. We will make our biblical voice heard. So I want to break that narrative about the Christian not voting. Turn it around. The Christian is to take the opportunity to defend the unborn, to stand for the defense of Israel, for biblical marriage, for the things that concern God. Listen, vote and let your talent, your opportunity, Jesus told us, rather bury it in the ground, get it out there and make a difference. So join me because it's time to pray, vote, and stand.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.